Shkalim Perkei Mishnah Beis 5-2, and more on the administration of the Beis HaMikdash. The topic of this Mishnah will be the hierarchy of authority. And let me paint you a fuller picture than the Mishnah does, so you see the whole hierarchy in context. There are actually five levels of authority in the Beis HaMikdash, the top of the pile being the Kohen Gadol, who is chosen by the Sanhedrin, according to most Shitas, maybe with the power of the king. As well, according to Tosfos, based on five criteria. The truth is, any Kohen could be eligible as a Kohen Gadol, and during Bai Sheni, Second Temple period, there were plenty Kohanim who didn't meet this criteria, but were eligible technically since they were Kohanim. But ideally, the Kohen Gadol should embody the following five traits. Number one, he should be a Yirei Shemayim, fearful of heaven. He should be a Chacham, wise. He should be handsome. He should be wealthy, and he should be strong. And the din is actually, if he's not wealthy, he's provided with wealth. So that's the ideal Kohen Gadol. Below the Kohen Gadol is the Sagan Kohen Gadol, who is the deputy Kohen Gadol, who really is the person who's running most of the day-to-day, like the CEO, if you will, of the affairs of the Beis HaMikdash, and he also attends to the Kohen Gadol himself. Below the Sagan, there are two people called Katalokin. The Katalokin, this is probably etymologically connected to the Latin word Catholic, which was subsequently arrogated by the Catholic Church, but originally it means people who are universals, and that's why the Catholic Church chose, the Christian Church chose Catholic to be the universal, like, religion, so to speak. In any case, Lahavdil, Katalokin, there were two of them who were sort of the assistants and attendees of the Sagan Kohen Gadol, people who executed what he said needed to get done. Below them, there are, as a Mishnah will say, seven kind of trustees, like a board of directors, and those are called Amarkalin. And Amarkal is really a notrikon of two words. It's a portmanteau, a combination of two words, of Amar, which means when they speak. So then it's Kula with a Chaf. It's final. So what they say goes. They're the final word. And they're the ones who would choose the various functionaries in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were sort of administrating on a day-to-day. And they would pick, amongst other things, the Gizbarin. These are like treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar features plenty of times throughout Shas Mishnayos here. And according to the Gemara in Tamid, Daf Chaf Zayin, there were a total of 13 Gizbarin, 13 treasurers, who would handle all the affairs of the Beis HaMikdash, the purchasing and the selling of assets that came to it, the appraisals, the collections, etc. So that's the bigger picture. Now, our mission here says, Ein pochasim mishlosha gizbarin. There should be no fewer than three treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash, obviously in direct conflict with, like Mar just quoted to you in Tamid, which hold that thought for a second. Umishiva amarkalin, and no fewer than seven amarkalin, seven members of the board of directors, if you will, of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, those two roles which are explicit, so already the Ravid as Akashi says, why in the world does the Mishnah say three when the Gemara says 13? And why also in the world would you have seven people be in charge of three people? That seems a little strange. And therefore he explains that there were a total of 13 treasurers, let's call them, in the Beis HaMikdash who attended to the various financial functions that were required in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, the whole back office. But they're doing lots of things. They're doing, bookkeeping and controlling and, I don't know, paying bills, whatever the Gizbarin had to do. But the three mentioned here are three specifically who were involved in the appraisal process. Many times people committed to give a voluntary gift, a neder, nedava, or even an erechin. And sometimes a person would say, like, I'm committing the value of my new book, notebook, computer, Nike tennis shoes, whatever they would say. So then you need to have like professional appraisers who would determine the value of that, and similarly to collect. And similarly, we said so many times about Bedek HaBayis in our Masechta already, when you commit something to the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is going to take that hekdesh, that consecrated item, which is for Bedek HaBayis, for general economic benefit of the Beis HaMikdash, and monetize it. And they have to figure out, you know, what is the value that they should sell it for, and through the whatever, however they sell it in the basement of this gift shop or their eBay website or whatever they're going to do to sell it, they need to figure out the prices. So for figuring out prices and evaluations of people's equipment, etc., that really are dine mamonos decisions. They're financial decisions which require a best in, a legal Jewish court, which must be three in number. So therefore, you need to have at least three to do all these functions that require Bezdin, a Beis Din that's doing the various appraisals that go on with Haram and Hekdeshos, Nedarim, Nedavos, etc. Okay, above them are these seven Amar Kalin, as I said, these directors who sort of are the ones who appoint the Gizbarn, and as well as the other roles that we saw in the previous Mishnah, they'll be overseen and picked by the, you know, this board of governors, board of directors. Vein olsen sarara al hatzibor b'mamon pachas mishnayim. As a general rule, the Rambam understands this is going far beyond the scope of the Beis HaMikdash. In general, you can't put people in a position of authority, financial authority, both to extract or to dispose of financial assets that belong to the tzibor, and they can't be allowed to act unilaterally, one at a time. So that means people who are, you know, collecting dues or who are spending public funds, they shouldn't act alone. They should be in groups of two. This is to avoid any abuse of power or misuse of funds, you know, corruption, bribery, etc. So you want to have two people at least in a position of srara. That would include even in your modern day shul when you're allocating funds and so on. Chutz meben achia sha'al chole me'ayim. That was mentioned in the previous Mishnah. This fellow, Ben Achia, who was like the doctor, who was in charge of the, you know, the stomach aches and so on, medical needs of the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. So he has to spend money to purchase like the medicines that were required to attend to the sick Kohanim. And also Va'alazar sha'al ha'paroches, Elazar, who was in charge of the maintenance of the parochos, the 13 kind of heavy tapestry curtains in the Beis HaMikdash, as described in the previous Mishnah. So that costs money. You have to buy supplies, new wool, and so on. So those two were entitled to act unilaterally. Sha'osan kiblu rov hatzibur aleihen, because for those two, the majority of the community accepted them as being acceptable to act unilaterally, and we trusted them, we allowed them. Perhaps it's a function both of their integrity as well as the relatively limited scope of how much money they're spending to buy medicines and wool to fix tapestries. There are clearly other roles in the previous Mishnah that would require the expenditure of public funds, like for example to dig ditches, etc. So the answer seems to be that while we did list various people in the previous Mishnah who were in charge of roles which might cost money to execute, but they probably had teams under them. In other words, the person who's in charge of making sure there's water supply by digging ditches, so, you know, that may be true, that's his job, but he had like a team of people under him, and so on, so he wasn't acting unilaterally.